Hey man, love the podcast, love everything you're doing with it. From not just a football fan, as a Bears fan, I love everything you're going over because a lot of it are the same needs that we've got, and love everything you're doing with it, man. You can find me at Twitter at Jaden Weiss 2.
What's going on, guys? I know it's been a while. Rob, or Everything NYG here on Twitter, sitting behind a microphone in a quarantine, as I know the rest of you are. This is an unfortunate time in our country and in the world, and I honestly hope that everybody is staying safe, doing the best they can to keep their distance and keeping their loved ones safe as well. Don't want to see anything happen to anyone, and hopefully we can squash this as soon as possible. So make sure you're staying safe out there now. Our Giants, you could say that they might as well be in quarantine. It's been an interesting offseason. Done a lot of interesting things from top to bottom. And, you know, honestly, it's kind of a very Giants-like offseason. We started out with about $78 to $79 million in cap space. We are, I believe, third or fourth in the NFL. And we started that off with a bang, spending $16.1 million, a million of it on a franchise tag, as we know. But before we go into that, we're down to about, for the people that keep asking me, we're down to about $10 million, and that's about what we need for the reserve. We made another one-year signing today, which, again, I'll go into that as well. But for those people that keep asking about Clowney or even Marcus Golden, it's pretty unlikely at this point, especially with this franchise tag in place. It really killed us from the jump. But we did sign 9 players from different teams that at least played, or even if they didn't start, they were on a different team last year. So, like I said, down to about $10 million. Dave Gettleman wanted at least $10 million in the reserve for the season. And now we're down at about that number before we've even went into the draft. So definitely an interesting situation. I think they spent more than what they wanted to spend. And did we get what we wanted out of it? I don't know. And just to start off free agency, where the Giants got started and where everything began with a move that I don't think made a lot of sense to anyone. I get why they did it. And, you know, honestly, I think this was a big pride thing for Dave Gettleman. I think he did this because he made this trade and he wanted to at least get more than a one-year rental out of it. And I get it. I get that. And I understand that, especially from a guy like him. I just don't agree with it. So we gave the franchise tag. I would have preferred the transition tag. We gave that to Aldrick Rosas, but we gave the franchise tag, the one-year $16.1 million salary, to defensive lineman Leonard Williams, which we acquired from the Jets for a third and some change. About mid-year at the trade deadline. So, you know, he was a good player for us, man. Leonard Williams is not a pass rusher. He'll get in the quarterback's face and he'll rack up those Pro Football Focus stats like pressures and whatever you want to call it, man. I'm not even going to go into it. He racks those up. He's a good run stuffer. Ever since he came to our team, our run stuffing got a lot better. We have a great D-line full of run stuffers with no pass rushers, and he fits that mold. So 1 year, $16.1 million. People keep asking me, you know, should we peel that tag off of him, or what will happen if we sign him to a long term? If we sign him to a long term, his cap number will go tremendously down from 16.1, probably to about 9 to 10, free up 6 to 7 million. Are they going to do that? No. I mean, I doubt it. Just recently, they talked about how they're going to be patient with him. They could last into summer with him. That was Dave Gettleman's words today at the time I'm recording. So expect him to stay around a while, but that was the Giants' first move, and it took off $16 million in cap, because keep in mind that is a one-year guaranteed salary, so that is what is taken off the cap. So Leonard Williams is the Giant that will remain on a one-year contract for right now. He will technically fall under the re-signings, if you want to call it that, but Leonard Williams is back, like it or not. Now this, you know, I don't know, you know, some people listen to my past ones, some people don't, some people might be new, some people might be sitting behind a quarantine like I am, bored out of their minds and listening, and if you are, regardless, I appreciate it, but this is a guy that, you know, going into free agency, I had a list, and we did get two of those guys on my list, and I'll go into that, but Byron Jones was not a guy that I wanted. I wasn't big on Byron Jones, I wasn't a big fan of him. I actually had two guys ranked above him. And one of them is right here, James Bradbury. We signed him to a 3-year, $45 million contract with $32 million guaranteed, which, if you consider it, it's not that bad, man. I mean, it's top of the cornerback market. Byron Jones got about $17 million a year, 17 and a half. But he's not, listen, I'm going to sound crazy and I get it. This is a better player. This is a better overall deal. Listen, man, I know it sounds crazy and I get it, and I'm going to get roasted for it. when I went into this offseason, like I said, I made my list. Bradberry was number two on that cornerback list, roughly number one. I had Mike Hilton with him, and I love Bradberry. Keep in mind, he's 6'1", 212 pounds, and he was drafted in the second round of the 2016 NFL draft by the Panthers, by Dave Gettleman. I'm not surprised this was something that Dave really wanted. He seems to take a lot of pride in the guys that he has brought into the league or he has a lot of faith in, and he makes sure he brings them back. So in four seasons with Carolina, Bradberry started all 60 games, so durability with him is not an issue, which is amazing. That was great. And he occurred 222 tackles, three sacks, 47 pass defenses, eight interceptions, and two forced fumbles. Now, I know a lot of people didn't like this comparison, and I'm not saying coverage-wise, but play-wise and downhill-wise, he reminds me of Richard Sherman out the yin-yang. He racks up tackles. You can blitz him off the edge. His size gives him the ability to do that. He has a safety size, but he covers like a corner. His hand movement is great. His fundamentals are amazing. And this is a guy that I just absolutely love. I love this signing. I love the contract. You see it right there, 47 pass defenses. And I want to read something off to you guys that I did. Somebody sent to me on Twitter, and this will give you a little bit of a breakdown on how good James Bradberry is. He was the number one cornerback with them outside of their rookie. And let me just break it down to you a little bit, the coverage that he had to go against in that division and what he did. So I'm not going to tell you the weeks. I'm not going to go into it. I'll just explain. So against Mike Evans, well, I will say in week two against Mike Evans, this was all last year, on six targets, he had three receptions for 61 yards. Four, DeAndre Hopkins, six targets, three receptions for 27 yards. Keep in mind, DeAndre Hopkins. Mike Evans, week six, 13 targets, seven receptions, 82 yards. Julio Jones, four targets, two receptions, 30 yards. Michael Thomas, 5 for 5, 51 and a touchdown. Julio Jones again, six targets, four receptions, 64 yards. DK Metcalf, three targets, one reception, 17 yards. And in week 17, when they met back up, James Bradberry said, "Hey, bitch, I'm here." Two targets, no receptions, no touchdowns. And I know a lot of people, and I know one of them very personally, started him in that big fantasy game against the Panthers, and everyone was so hyped that had him, and he put up a donut, and that was massive. That was all James Bradberry, Giants fans. That was all James, and he covered, like I just said, Mike Evans, DeAndre Hopkins, Mike Evans again, Julio again, Michael Thomas twice, and look at that. Look at that. He's allowed one touchdown in all those games to Michael Thomas. All those games, those great receivers, one touchdown. Amazing. Absolutely amazing to see. So if you needed to be a little bit more convinced on James Bradberry, there you have it. The guy's an animal. He's going to be our number one corner. There's some comfort, man. We have him. We have DeAndre Baker on that other side, and then we can figure out if we want to put Julian Love at three, and then we just signed a guy that's going to compete as well that I'll talk about. We have options now, man. Finally, we have options, but we have our number one corner. So I know I just spent a lot of time on him. He deserved a lot of time. He deserves more time, but I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to flip it back now to our next signing. And this is the one that was so controversial. People hated it. I didn't. I don't know what happened. I used to be the negative one. I guess I'm the more optimistic one now. People are just going to hate to hear the name. Blake Martinez, middle linebacker from the Packers, 3 years, $30 million with $19 million guaranteed. Now, the knock that people have on Blake Martinez is one that I do understand. He can't cover. You know, we saw Corey Littleton go to the Raiders on a 3 year, I think it was $35 million, about the same contract. And then we saw Joe Schobert. He got paid. I think his was 5 years, like 64 or something insane with the Jaguars. But keep in mind of this, okay? I understand. I get that he can't cover. Here's the thing that people keep forgetting. The middle linebacker is not the only player on the field that is responsible for covering that tight end. You are supposed to have multiple guys that are responsible for that. And when you see that middle linebacker cover the tight end, it's in very specific sets. Now, the Giants are known for allowing tight ends and our middle linebackers to get exposed. That's because teams know that they can do that against us. Now, take that with a grain of salt. Do they still feel that way? Maybe. I don't know. That's for you to decide. But now we have better corners that can help out with the safeties being able to drop down. So, like I said, 3 years, $30 million, $19 million guaranteed. Blake Martinez with the Packers, 6'2". He was in the fourth round of the 2016 NFL draft, 6'2", 237 pounds. He's played in all 61 regular season games with 57 starts. So again, durability is not an issue. And I saw that in the Giants blueprint this offseason. So all 61 games, 57 starts, 512 tackles, 10 sacks, 17 pass defenses, 3 interceptions, and 2 forced fumbles. And in 2019, he had 155 tackles, which led the NFL. So listen, like I said, I get it and I understand. We have other linebackers that I believe will cover better, obviously, and Ryan Connolly, ETC. But listen, I love this signing. And I know people are going to hate me for it, and they have. I get it. Blake Martinez, I get it. He's a downhill thumper. And everyone said, oh, Rob, you must have loved Alec Ogletree. No, I didn't love Alec Ogletree. This is not the same player. Blake Martinez is going to be your blue chip, downhill, thumping middle linebacker that, yes, I know Packers fans said a lot of his tackles came from downhill when he got went from down the field when he got beat. I understand that. I've seen the tape. I've seen a lot on him. He was number 2 on my middle linebacker list, number 3, number 2-ish right there with the other two that I just mentioned. Listen, I get that he might have been the worst of the evils in that top 3. And I'll fight you with that. I agree. I preferred Corey Littleton the most out of any of them. But this guy, finally, we have a durable, keep in mind, durable middle linebacker that will be able to constantly be in the face of running backs, receivers, tight ends, and quarterbacks. And like I said, fight me all you want with the coverage. I get it. Regardless, he will play downhill, and he will be in their face. And that's what we need. We've always had these little soft linebackers that like to just bounce back and push around, and they don't know if they're a pass rusher or a deep third linebacker or a run stuffer or a field general. This guy, we know what he is. He's going to call the plays. He's a field general. He'll do all the above. He's going to get beat in coverage. So calm down. He's going to get beat in coverage. And when he does, but when he makes up for it time and time again with the plays that he makes downhill, don't be another one of those people that tells me on Twitter, I'm glad I was wrong, because I hear that all the time. And let me cue my brother, Daniel Jones. How many times did I have to hear that with him? But I will tell you, Blake Martinez was a great deal. That's a $10 million a year salary. That is not bad for someone of his age, his caliber, what he'll bring to the table. And then you go look at Joe Schobert's deal. This was a great contract, and I'm very happy with Blake Martinez. Like I said, in 2019, 155 tackles, 3 sacks, 2 pass defenses, 1 pick, 1 forced fumble. Now, same team, same side of the ball, same section of the field. We went and signed Kyler Fackrell, the outside linebacker from the Packers, another one that a lot of people liked and didn't like. Like I said, 1 year, $4.6 million, 6'5", 245 pounds. He was drafted in the 3rd round of the 2016 NFL draft. So right there with Blake Martinez. In 4 years with Green Bay, Fackrell played, again, in 61 regular season games with 9 starts, 111 tackles, 16 and a half sacks, 1 pass defense, 1 forced fumble. And he finished 2019 with 23 tackles and 1 sack. But here's the thing. This is what a lot of people missed at the jump, because all they did was they looked up Kyler Fackrell's stats. Fackrell's best season of his career was in 2018. He started only 7 games. Keep in mind, 7 games. Okay. Started 7 games. 42 tackles and 10 and a half sacks. 7 games. 42 tackles. 10 and a half sacks. Now, turn on the tape with this guy. He absolutely demolished franchise left tackles time and time again. He took out Dwayne Brown like he was standing there time and time and time again. This guy is a pure pass rusher. A $4.6 million prove it deal is more than fair for a player of his caliber and what he's going to bring to the table. He's definitely a guy that I can see. Listen, I cue Marcus Golden, and I think this is this year's Marcus Golden. I think he's going to have another great year with us, and he's going to get paid. Maybe not by us, but he's going to have another really good 1 year rental deal that he plays great and everyone wants him back. I see a lot of good in him. Kyler Fackrell, man. Now, the tough thing is the Giants are really awkward on linebackers. We do have guys all over the field that are supposed to be pass rushers that don't get played that way. And I hope they will now, but you know, we have guys all over, Lorenzo Carter, and we have everywhere, Ximenez, whatever it may be, they're there. So it's going to be interesting to see where he fits, but where he fit with Green Bay was just a pure outside linebacker in blitz formations, and he did it very well. So Kyler Fackrell, another great signing. And yes, I know it's crazy. I can't stand Dave Gettleman. Right now, we are 3-for-4 on the signings. So doing good, doing real good. Laveen Toilolo, he was brought in. He was with the Falcons for forever. 2 years, $6.2 million. This guy is not going to be in receiving sets. If he does, it'll be on a 3rd and 5, and if he gets lucky to be open. He is a pure downhill blocker. Very good blocker, better than a fullback. He's been known his entire career to be very good at blocking, and that's exactly what he's going to do in New York. He's just going to block set after set after set, especially in heavy sets, pistol gun. He's going to block. Big dude, really big dude. Team friendly deal. About what is that? About $3 million ish a year, 3.1 ish a year. Great deal right there for the Giants. Great signing right there for the Giants. Now, it was something that I didn't expect at all. I know that they wanted to get better at blocking in general, but this was a good one. This was a really good one. I'm not going to lie to you. I didn't know he was available. I'm sure a lot of people weren't really too keen on thinking about him, but this was a hell of a signing, a great deal. And like I said, don't expect him to rack up 200, 300, 400 yards. And, you know, everyone's going to hate him at the end of the year, that the wishy-washy fans that, you know, if we lost five games and we've won five games and we're kind of, everyone's like, oh, he sucks because he has 100 yards receiving. No, he's going to do a lot of things behind the curtain, just like Rhett Ellison did. Thank you for everything, Rhett. Enjoy retirement. But like I said, Lavine Toyolo, I don't mean this in a mean way, will be a better version of Rhett Ellison at what he was brought here to do. Next one is Joe Judge's buddy and somebody that led the Patriots in 2019 in special teams tackles. And that's the only reason why he's here. He's a safety. He's not going to start. Nate Ebner, that was a one-year deal. I couldn't find the figures on it. I'm assuming it's no more than $1.5 million. He's just going to be a special teamer, man. He's going to be great on special teams. He's very good on special teams. And like I said, that's exactly where he's going to play. Don't expect him to start unless it's in an absolute pinch. He will play special teams. Another great signing, man. Another really good one that just is very under the radar, but he can play a lot of different things and he's going to do it well. Our special teams has been great with McGahee for a long time, and he's going to make it even better. So I'm excited for Nate Ebner. Good deal. Wish it would have been more than a 1 year, though. I would have done a 2 year for him. We know what he's going to bring to the table. There's nothing to prove. He's going to be good at what he does. No need to prove it. I would have done a 2, even a 3 year with Nate Ebner at the price that I'm sure we got him for. Now, this is one that just happened 2 days ago. I love it. Now, here's the thing. If you go back in my archives and my episodes, I do definitely love Wayne Gallman. I'm a big fan of Gallman. I do like him a lot. I think that he is more than content of being a number two running back in the NFL and even starting a pinch. I like him a lot. But we did go and sign former Patriots, great running back, and now Titans bum running back. Keep in mind Derrick Henry, Deion Lewis. Now, this guy is a Swiss Army knife, 5'8", 195 pounds, originally drafted in the fifth round of the 2011 draft by the Eagles. He's been with the Eagles, the Browns, the Colts, the Patriots, the Titans, and now the Giants. He's had some injury issues. He broke his leg in 2013, but in the years that he did play, he was always amazing at receptions, always amazing. 172 passes, 1,281 yards, so 7.4 yards a catch and 7 touchdowns, a PPR god. This guy was always a lot of fun to have on your team if you play fantasy. In 2019, he did play in all 16 regular season games for the Titans, and he only started once, carried the ball 54 times for 209 yards, and caught 25 passes for 164 and a touchdown. So while Derrick Henry did take over that offense, he still did have a little bit of a role as a receiver, and when he did it pretty well. I mean, 25 passes for 164 and a touchdown is not anything to shake your head at. It's not bad. This guy was brought in, like I said, on a one-year deal, another rental. But when he was with the Patriots, as they all do, they're all receiving backs, and they're all very good. And he's going to be one of them. Now, a lot of people shook their head and said, you know, Shane Vereen, they're not the same player. They're not the same player at all. Deion Lewis is an upgraded Shane Vereen, 1,000%. I'm not saying that bias. I am not a Dave Gettleman truther, but this was 1,000% a good deal. This was the right guy to go get. If they wanted a running back, I agree with this one. You know, we didn't need Melvin Gordon. We didn't need Todd Gurley, obviously. This will be a great compliment for Saquon Barkley. And if they felt that wasn't Wayne Gallman, then they found their guy in Deion Lewis. And I can see him getting another one-year deal and then another one until he decides to hang up his cleats. Great deal here, though. He has all the stats in the world to prove why it's a great deal. And it was a team-friendly deal as well with our money. Great deal with Deion Lewis. A lot of people asked me how I felt about it. I really liked it. Definitely a good one. Just to brush over it quick, the next guy, we signed a backup quarterback in Colt McCoy. We still have Alex Tanny. Honestly, he must have pictures of someone's wife on the team, maybe Gettleman, I don't know. But Colt McCoy, great backup here. This was a really good one. He started with the Redskins a lot. He played really well with them when he did play. Keep in mind when I say really well, you get what I'm saying. Good signing here. You know, God forbid if something does happen to my brother and Daniel Jones, he will definitely be able to step up. He's not going to throw 5 touchdowns and no picks and 300 yards 3 games in a row, but he'll game manage. He'll do well. And I'm very excited to see him on this team. I think that Colt McCoy was a great addition. A lot of familiarity with the Redskins, obviously. And I think that went into it as to why they signed him. Just today, as I'm recording this a few hours ago, the Giants went and signed Dave Gettleman's wet dream, defensive tackle, Austin Johnson, to a 1-year deal. 6'4", 314 pounds. He was drafted in the second round of the 2016 NFL draft by the Titans. Four seasons with them, he played in 58 regular season games, only getting 13 starts, but with 83 tackles, 2.5 sacks, 5 pass defenses total. And in 2019, he played in all 16 regular season games with 1 start and finished the year with 63 tackles. So he never really lived up to the expectations with Tennessee, and that's 1,000% true. But he did play at Penn State under the Giants' new defensive line coach, Sean Spencer, Coach Chaos. So what I noticed, and I talked about this with my buddy John in the last episode with the coaching staff, they did the same thing with the players they brought in. If they have familiarity, and thank God it's not only Cardinals and Panthers and bum players, it's good players that have familiarity, and these coaches know where they want them to play and how they want them to play. This was another good signing, man. I don't know the figures on it, and I don't think this is where we should have spent our last penny at all. Another guy that's not going to rush the passer, okay. But a good signing right here. Definitely a good signing right here, and I do like the deal by the Giants. I think it made a lot of sense. Very young guy, and I'm excited to see what he can bring to the table. He's going to be a transitional guy. You're not going to see him a lot. You're not going to hear his name called in the loudspeaker a lot, but he will get his chance to play, and hopefully he does do pretty well. Excited for this deal. Good one. 6'4", 314, man. Shit, he eats a lot of cookies. Now, this is another one. Now, we're going to flip it back. And like I said, I told you guys, I'm just going over the players here and giving you a little bit of background. Okay. Well, I just want to throw this in here real quick. I did just see that Goodell just sent out a memo to NFL teams that the draft will go on as scheduled, the 23rd to the 25th. So that's awesome. That's the one thing that Goodell's done right, is he has not pumped the brakes on everything. And I think that this is a huge pandemic. It's a big deal, but we can do it all remotely. And that's exactly what's happening. And everything's been great. So good job, Goodell. Thankful to see that. But we did sign straight out of the XFL, Drayvon Askew-Henry, and that was to a 2-year deal. I was surprised to see that. He played with the XFL Guardians most recently, but he was drafted originally by the Steelers. I think he was like 6th round or 5th round. He was great in the XFL. He was the guy that a lot of people had the gif of and the meme of him throwing the flag at the ref. The XFL is wild. You're allowed to do that. The interview is hysterical. This guy is a direct cousin of NFL star and former star and everything of above, Darrelle Revis. And he's a direct cousin of him. I'm sure he's got plenty of nice help from him. And another good signing, another good under-the-radar run. And this is what I was talking about earlier, where I do believe that he will compete for that 3rd spot. And we'll see who ends up getting it. But this was definitely a great signing in Askew-Henry, and I'm excited to see what he can do in the league, because he didn't get a lot of a chance with the Steelers because his slot cornerback position was completely taken up by the guy that I wanted the Giants to grab as well, and Mike Hilton. Next one is going to be – he started with the Cowboys when they needed him to on a 1-year deal, offensive tackle Cam Fleming, about 28 years old, a mammoth of a man, huge guy. He worked with our new offensive line coach. Obviously, his name's slipping my mind right now, but that, again, the familiarity, that's why he's here. He's going to start for us at right tackle, another 1-year rental, just like Mike Remmers was. He's going to start at right tackle for us, and I think he's going to do very well. When anything coming from the Cowboys – is usually pretty damn good, and I'm excited to see what our new coach can do with him. Obviously, he's worked with him pretty well already, and I think that it's going to be a good deal. 1 year is a cheap, team-friendly deal. He's 28, going to be 29 after this deal, so he's not going to play too much longer. It's just a rental. Again, a lot of these deals are rentals, but a good signing right there in Cam Fleming. So those are covering really a lot of the big names, but let's talk now about the re-signings and where – those went right and where they went wrong. Elijah Penny, that was a good signing. That was a good bring back. I don't really see why. I mean, fullbacks, you can, you know, especially with how we use them, you don't really need to sign them. You can just grab them out of McDonald's. I have all the respect in the world for fullbacks, but I like Penny. I just don't think he did enough to be like, oh, this needs to be our first priority, which is what they made it. You know, Dave Gettleman, Leonard Williams, and Elijah Penny. Interesting, but good signing. It's not bad. I think his cap hit could have went somewhere else. But good signing. This is the one that I do love, though, and I know everyone else loved it too. Former first rounder with the Browns, Corey Coleman. When he was on the field, man, especially on special teams, he looked electric. He looked great, and then he got hurt again. That's been his biggest issue, is the durability. Time in and time again, Corey Coleman's injury problems have been quite hectic. But Corey Coleman, I think that he is going to not only live up to his expectations, finally with us, we have a great receiver coach in Tyke Tolbert. I think that he's going to exceed them. I'm excited to see him play next to Sterling Shepard and Darius Slayton. And I think he finally has a spot where he's not being drafted or put in here expected to play number one like the Browns did. He's expected to be a slot guy. And I think he's going to do really well at that position. And I'm excited to see where that goes. David Mayo, great signing there. I'm really surprised. You know, Dave Gettleman drafted him. Then he went to the 49ers practice squad, and they have all the freaking players in the world at that spot. He played great for us, man. He was one of the top-rated middle linebackers in general at run stuffing. He's not going to start anymore. He'll kind of be rotational unless we get injuries. We are the Giants. But David Mayo, a great deal. Thankful to have someone there that we know we can fall back on finally. You know, we're not afraid that, you know, we have to put in the former Burger King manager in at middle linebacker. And then the last one, and like I said, I didn't really cover the guys that were on the practice squad, like, you know, Grant Haley, stuff like that. But Cody Core, we got him midseason, special teams ace, exactly what he did. Ever since he got there, our special teams got so much better. And I'm excited to see what he can bring to the table. But now I do have questions on my Twitter. So I want to be able to make sure I answer these for you guys and for my most loyal followers. And that's exactly what I'm going to do right now. I'm going to call you out by name. And so Antonio Vidal asked me, do you know if the Giants still have interest in DeMarcus Robinson? I know that they did, and they were very interested in him at the beginning, and I don't know what happened with him, but I can tell you this much. The market has dwindled very thin for him, so if he's demanding a lot of money, just like Robbie Anderson was, he's not going to get it. So I know that they still have interest in him. I know they still like him. Will they get him with the money we have? I really don't think so, but do they still have interest in him? Of course. The money is gone, man. It's gone. I don't have a name here, but it's NYG fan, NY Giants underscore fan. Who is your favorite tackle prospect in the draft and why? Also, would you be tempted to pick Simmons at four rather than a franchise left tackle / right tackle? I know I am. My favorite tackle prospect in the draft is going to be Tristan Wirfs. That school, they've constantly bred offensive linemen. Anytime you get an O-lineman from that school, they're so damn good. Brandon Scherf, whatever you want to call it, they're so damn good. Wirfs, in my opinion, is the best one. Andrew Thomas is right there, but Wirfs for sure would be my number one. That's who I would get if we're really going to go that spot at four. But for me, it's Isaiah Simmons or bust. I think it would be amazing to get a franchise left tackle or right tackle, but it would be even more amazing to get a franchise outside linebacker, pass rusher, safety, anything you need him to do, running back. Isaiah Simmons is a can't miss prospect, just like Saquon Barkley was. I'd grab Barkley. 1,000%. That's my can't miss. I'm turning in the card instantly if Chase Young doesn't end up being there somehow. From Stan Loki, he asked me, which sleeper free agent do you think will have an unexpected impact? Sleeper free agent I'm going to give to Askew Henry. 100%. I think that he's going to end up starting. Not on the field every play, but I think he's going to end up being a starter, rotational starter, and I think he's going to be better than most think, and I think they thought that too, giving him a two-year instead of the one-year like the rest of these. So I'd have to give that one to ask you, Henry, Stan. Joe Monaco asked me, any news on Marcus Golden? I've heard this one over and over and over again, and trust me, guys, I'm a fan too at the end of the day. I want Marcus Golden back as much as you guys. The only thing I know about Marcus Golden is that he wants to be patient. He's had interest and would love to be back, in his words, with the Giants, and he wants to be with the Giants. It seems unlikely, man. I don't know, first off, how we're going to pay him, and second off, it's just, I don't know. I mean, the rest of the market has kind of dwindled right now. Teams are about out of money, for the most part. So, you know, there's still Jadeveon Clowney out there. I don't know what he's doing. There's still a lot of guys that need to be signed that are under the radar, and he's one of them. But the only news I can give you is that we're broke. He would love to be here, but I emphasize, we're broke. So I want him as much as the rest of you, but I don't think it's very possible, man. It's not likely. We can make it happen. If we get rid of the franchise tag on Leonard Williams, you'd be amazed what we can do. But I don't see that happening. Dave Gettleman, just, nah. Kevin McManus, I think this is the guy from Ireland, man. Represent. Thank you for listening. Shoot me some of that Irish beer, man. He said, are we moving towards a model of building through the draft and just adding pieces in free agency? I believe we are, and that it's the right thing to do. It will take time, though. 1,000%. Yeah, the Giants want to build through the draft. Dave Gettleman's the type that wants to build through the draft. We're adding these one-year rentals, like I've been saying. They're not long-term guys. The only guys that are long-term are going to be, you know, quote-unquote long-term, are Bradbury, Martinez. The rest of these guys are 1,000% one-year rentals that we have no intention on bringing back for the most part. And Yeah, so they're building through the draft, and that's why they stack up on fifth-round picks so much, because you'd be amazed what you can find, especially when you have a competent GM, and Dave Gettleman is at drafting 1,000%. That's their model right now, and that's going to be their model going forward, especially with Joe Judge, especially with what he said in his press conferences. Michael G underscore 815, most underrated free agent signing, and who should we draft? I'm going to do the same thing. The most underrated is going to be Ask You Henry, and who should we draft is going to be Isaiah Simmons. 1,000%. I'm not going to change. That's my guy. And if we don't get Isaiah Simmons, like I said, I know the franchise left tackle or right tackle would be huge. It's not the sexy pick, but it would be big. But man, I would love somebody like Jerry Jeudy or Henry Ruggs. Can you imagine? Ooh, goddamn. TCO Crispy, do you think we're done with signings, and do you think Jadeveon and Yannick are out of the question now? Same thing. Like I said, I don't think that we are done with signings. I think it's going to be one of those things that you will see another 1 year sprinkled in there. But as a whole, any big splashes? Nah. I mean, for the most part, we're done. We have to be done. It's not like they want to be, but we have to be. Do I think that Yannick and Jadeveon are out of the question? Yes, 1,000%. Yeah, that's not happening. The only way that's happening is, like I said a few times, if we rescind the franchise tag on Leonard Williams, it would be possible, but they're not going to do that. They're not going to sign him to a long-term anytime soon, it looks like. So, yes, where it stands and going forward, yes, that they're out of the picture, unfortunately, and I wish that wasn't the case, but unfortunately it is. Simmons season 20, yes, sir, love to see it. Do you think Queen, well, that was unexpected. Do you think Queen will fall to us in the second? Patrick Queen from LSU, hell no. He won't get it past like 29 with the Ravens. He's a hell of a player, man. I love Patrick Queen. So underrated, just like Kenneth Murray. Now, I know, don't get me wrong, they're not underrated, but man, they could be top 10 guys if this draft wasn't so stacked. Queen won't make it past the first round. And if he does, there will be teams clamoring to trade up to 33. He's a hell of a player, man. Gotta love Patrick Queen. Downhill thumper, great player. Reminds me so much of Deion Jones. He's going to be good. But no, he's not going to fall to us specifically in the second. Hell no. And the last question, I'm going to botch your name here, man. I think it's Saqib Zaman. He asked me who starts on the O-line the first game. Left tackle is going to be Nate Solder. On that left guard, you're going to have Aaron Hernandez. The center, not 1,000% sure what they're going to do there. Right guard, you're going to have Zeitler. Right tackle, you're going to have Cam Fleming. So center, I'm not 1,000% sure what their plans are there yet. Probably a draft guy, I'd assume. Especially the guy out of Wisconsin would be amazing. I always botch his name. His name's Tyler. That'd be a great pick. But that's going to be the O-line outside of the center. So anyways, that's going to wrap it up for episode 6. I was talking about as much as I could as far as the Giants signings, the re-signings, how I feel about them, where I thought they should have went, where I thought they went right, answered some of y'all's questions. But ultimately, like I said at the beginning, man, I hope everyone's staying safe in this pandemic. I hate what's going on here, and I hope that all of you are staying safe, quarantining, running some Xbox, some PlayStation, whatever you fancy, man. Just kind of stay back, chill with your loved ones, enjoy the family time, stay safe, do what you got to do. But as a whole, I appreciate all of you so much. Thank you so much for listening to my podcast. It means the world to me. Thank you for following me on my Twitter. Thank you for supporting me. And if you ever feel the need, and if it's, I like to mention it, and I rarely do, but there is an option on Anchor called Listener Support where you can be a monthly Patreon to the podcast for things like my mic or whatever it may be that I'm trying to add to the show, where you can do 99 cents up to like $20 one time a month, goes directly towards the podcast. So if you feel like doing that, don't feel obligated, but if you support my Twitter, if you support me, whatever, even 99 cents a month goes a long way. I do appreciate it. Other than that, go Giants. Thank you guys for listening. I appreciate it. All of you mean the world to me. And until the next episode, bleed blue.